Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 7. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 7. For he careth for you. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 7, for he careth for you. What a favoured soul we would be if the Lord were pleased to whisper these precious words to each of us this afternoon. These words dropped in very sweetly last evening, thinking of the service this afternoon. And it really softened one's heart as the Lord breathed them into one's heart, because it is such a personal word, you see. And we need things personally. And I would begin this afternoon, let us each examine our own hearts. What have we received from the Lord personally of sweet assurance? Because here is a word that is so needful to a real seeking, exercised child of God. They want to feel and they want to know that he cares for them. And so when the Lord dropped this into one's heart, it really softened me, because it was just as though the Lord stood by me and said, for he careth for you. And immediately the Lord confirmed it with what we hope to sing in our closing hymn. Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bear? Yes, she may forgetful be, but I will remember thee. And so often over the years, the Lord has given me a text, so often he's confirmed it with maybe just one line of a hymn or a verse of a hymn. Well, let us begin by going back to the lesson we read together, and thinking immediately upon this text, he careth for you, one's mind went to the dear disciples and what we read in the lesson. They were tossed around in the sea. We read, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, into the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And this is it. And they awoke him, saying unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And there are times, you know, if we've got a real religion where we wonder whether we will perish. And there are reasons for that. Firstly, he was putting them to the test. It didn't, as I've often said, trouble the master, this storm that had come. But the disciples, because the ship was full of water, they feared they were going to perish. And there are many times of great trial with a real child of God when they fear they will perish in the midst of it. And they wonder whether the Lord has forsaken them. We read, don't we, what the Lord said himself in Isaiah's prophecy, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. And it's a searching place when we feel we're going to perish. And there may be one here this afternoon because of the bitter onslaughts of Satan, tempting, trying, buffeting the child of God, they fear they're going to perish. They're just like these dear disciples in the sea, in the ship. And they awoke him. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And these were his dear disciples, those he had chosen, those he had so favoured with divine blessings, and here they are fearing they're going to perish. Well, he didn't leave them to perish, did he? And he won't leave the child of God in 2018 that's really rightly exercised and burdened and concerned to perish in their sin, or to perish in the hands of Satan, or to perish in the hands of their enemies, or perish in their afflictions or troubles. What did the dear Redeemer do for these dear disciples? We read, and he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he reproved them, and he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And you know, so often it's because we're faithless that we fear we're going to perish. But what do we see in that case? The wonderful care of the dear Redeemer. They were fearing that they were going to perish in the sea. Carest thou not? They thought he didn't care about them. But he did, you know. And so often when we get into a low place in our souls, or maybe in the pathway, we wonder whether he does care for us. But what a make this word that we have named as a text this afternoon so sweet to be when you're in that place, poor soul, and the Lord whispers it to you. For he careth for you. You'll feel overwhelmed by his care. And why did he appear for those dear disciples like he did? Well, because first of all he cared for them, but that wasn't all. His love was toward them. And you think about it in a natural way, to use a simple illustration. Why does a loving mother care for a little babe? It's because she loves it. It's part of her. She has brought it forth. And her care is toward it. And how wonderful it is, isn't it? The Lord cares for his dear people in spite of all their sin, yours and mine. In spite of all our wanderings from him, and yet he still cares for us. And it won't matter with that dear mother or father, with the dear child, it won't matter where they are in the earth, their care toward them, if that's a real love toward them, their care will be continually for them. Wherever they be. And so it is spiritually with the Lord and his dear people. It won't matter where they are. I remember visiting a dear lady in the hospital. She'd had an operation and she said to me, she said, you know, there's a line of a hymn that's been so sweet to me since I've been here. And it's this, at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea. And she said, you know, how sweet that was. She said, there's me in the hospital. He cares for me. At home, he cares for me. If I'm abroad, he cares for me. On the land, on the sea. The hymn writer said, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. But it was the reality of wherever she was, she said, I felt the care of the Lord toward me. The dear soul, I believe, now in heaven. But oh, while we're here, you see, we need him to care for us, don't we? It's like a little babe. It cannot care for itself, can it? It's helpless. It can cry. It desires the milk. It needs washing. It cannot do it itself. It's dependent upon its mother. And think about it spiritually. That's just how the real child of God is. They're dependent upon the Lord at all times, wherever they be. He careth for you. We know this is a well-known word, but you know it's full of reality. He cares for our bodies when we're in affliction, in trouble. He cares for us to provide food for us each day, doesn't he? There's a beautiful illustration of this really in the Word of God, isn't there? Well, there's several. Let me name just one or two. Firstly, think of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and were to go on that pilgrimage journey to the Promised Land. They needed the Lord's care to be toward them, didn't they? He had brought them out. They hadn't brought themselves out. He had put them in the way towards Canaan's happy shore. And if you and I are real and the real children of God, he has brought us out and put us in that narrow way. And we need his continual care, don't we? And look how he cared for them in sending the manna every day for them. And then on that day prior to the Sabbath, he gave them the double portion for the Sabbath. But his care, you see, because he cared for them, he provided. There it was every day. Wonderful provision, wasn't it? For each one of them. And then think of it in our souls. He cares for the souls of his people. And he feeds them. We need it every day, don't we? A crumb here, a crumb there. There are times where he'll bring us, as we've sweetly witnessed of late, in those into the banqueting house where his banner over them has been love. But we're not always in the banqueting house, are we? But he brings his dear children there a few times during their lives. They can banquet with their king, feed upon his sufferings, his agonies, his death, his glorious resurrection. Except ye eat my flesh, he said, and drink my blood, there is no life in you. And that means really partaking of him, feeding upon him. But then there's another beautiful illustration of this. In the case of dear Elijah. You know, when the great famine came, the Lord withheld the rain. James tells us for the space of 3 years and 6 months. You know, people were complaining with the hot summer we've had this year. How would they feel if it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, how would we feel? But you look how the Lord provided for his dear people in the midst of all that famine and withholding of the rain. You see, we have that beautiful illustration of dear Elijah. The Lord commanded him to go to the brook Cherith. And what do we read? For I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The hymn writer said, ravens that would rather have devoured than given. You know, a raven is a flesh eating bird, and it will partake of anything it can feed on. But what did the Lord use? He didn't use a dove or a clean eating bird. He used a raven to feed him. Brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And dear Elijah proved the care of his God over him. Oh, how humbling it must have been for the dear man each day to see those ravens come in the morning and then again in the evening. But what about when the brook dried up? The Lord so cared for the dear man. And what does he say? Arise and go into Zarephath. For there I have commanded a widow woman. there to sustain them. And oh, how wonderfully she and he and her son proved how the Lord cared for them. She had nothing, but enough to make one cake for herself and her son, then they were to die. That's what she felt. But his care was toward them and toward the man of God. And now she had to bake for him first the cake, and then for herself and for her son. You see, the Lord must be first. And he wonderfully was to provide the barrel of meal. That didn't waste, did it? Neither did the cruse of oil fail, until the Lord sent rain upon the earth. And Elijah proved, didn't he, the continual care of his God, providing for him. We think of that beautiful word, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And when you look back and read some of the accounts of the old saints, you know how wonderfully the Lord provided for them. I remember one of the old ministers telling me, and he knew some very hard times in his early days in Providence. And he said that he was due to preach down, I think if I remember rightly, at South Morton. It was in Berkshire anyway, or the borders of Oxfordshire. And he said he caught the train and then he had to walk to the deacon's house. And he said, you know, I was so concerned. He said, I hardly had enough money to get to the place. The Lord had provided me just sufficient to get there. And he said, you know, to walk there, he said, I was almost walking on bare feet because the shoes he got, the bottom of them were, the soles and heels were worn right out. And he said, you know, I left my wife at home and the family. And he said, I thought, what are we going to do to feed on in the coming week? And he said, the Lord spoke to him that he would supply his every need. And he said, as he walked along the road, a pheasant flew out and a car came by and knocked the pheasant over and it fell dead in front of him. And it rolled down into the ditch. And he said, I went down there and picked it up. And he said, there's hardly a mark on it. He thought, well, this is the Lord's doing. There was the food for him for the next, and his wife for the next few days of the week, and there he was fretting what they were going to do. And he said, beside that pheasant as it rolled down into the ditch was a box. And he picked up the box and he got a new pair of shoes in it. He said, how they ever came there? He said, I don't know. The Lord must have sent them. And they were exactly the right size for him. He said, I just sat by the wayside and wept. You see, those that are really dependent upon him will prove the wonders God alone can do. There was the food, there were the shoes. The Lord, you see, cared for the dear man. He said he went and preached on the Lord's day of the goodness of God to his dear children. And he could well speak of it, couldn't he? Because he'd proved it. Now I use that as a simple illustration. We know in these days, for the most part, of plenty, many are not dependent like they were. But you see, those old souls, they were so dependent upon the Lord for everything. That's why they live near him. You know, the more dependent we are upon the Lord, the closer we will live to him. He careth for you. And that dear old servant of God, you know, he knew what it was for the Lord to provide. But then, to go deeper, you think of really the care of God the Father for his dear chosen children. He so cared for them that he sent his beloved Son into this world. Because of his loving care toward his bride, his church. What did Jesus say? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Are you a coming sinner, poor soul, desiring the Lord to care for you in providence, in your body, in your soul, in the pathway? And because God the Father cares for his dear people, he sent his beloved Son to suffer, to bleed, to die for them. And then you see the loving care of the Saviour. You know, when he left the realms of bliss and of glory and of heaven and came into this sin-cursed earth, why did he come? Because he cared for his dear bride, his church. His care was toward her. And you look how, and we think of it at this season of the year, of he didn't lie in, when he was born in Herod's palace, did he? A manger for his bed. How many of us that have had children would be willing to lay them in a manger? God had provided that manger. For the Lord of life, how low he was willing to stoop, even in his birth. But then you think how low he was to sink in his sufferings and in his death. Why? Because he cares, you see, for his dear bride, his church, you and I, if we're among them. And what one desires, and may we know it spiritually in our souls, his care toward us. He so cares that he shed his precious blood. That blood that, and I speak it with profound reverence, cleanseth the blackest, vilest of sinners, of all sin. And he shed it because he cares for his dear people. And if you have the sweet assurance, poor soul, he cares for you, you'll know what it is from time to time to know that pardoning love, that precious blood applied. And you'll see it is tender, loving care. And you look how he dealt with those that he dealt with here below in healing their afflictions. Why? Because he cared for them. We think of Simon Peter's wife's mother. When she lay sick, what did he do? Immediately he healed her because he cared for her. Oh, he did. The woman with the issue of blood, look how he cared for her. Both in body in healing our affliction, and to in her soul. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. For he careth for you. You may say, well, why didn't you take the first part of this text? I just hint at it, poor soul. But the reason I didn't was because this is exactly what the Lord gave me. For he careth for you. And there may be one here this afternoon that's come up, you Lord, do tell me thou carest for me. And what better word could you have? For he careth for you. It may be in what's before you, in the coming week or in the days to come. He careth for you. And his care, you see, will be so known and felt by the child of God, wherever they may be. And he so cares for his dear people that he speaks to them such a word as this, of sweet assurance, a sweet token of his love, to profit their souls and for his honour and for his glory. And he so cares for them to carry them through, you see. You think how he carried those dear disciples through that storm? Because he cared for them. He didn't leave them to perish. They feared they were going to. And so sometimes we do, don't we? Fear. We shall perish. And you can look at many characters in the Word of God that feared they would perish. The old Jacob did. When he was faced with Esau's 400 men against him, he feared he perished, didn't he? But the Lord didn't leave him to perish, did he? He put down the hosts of Esau's army because he cared for dear Jacob. And you think of dear Job in all the trial that he had to go through and the losses that he incurred. But you see, the Lord's care was over him continually. Satan couldn't destroy him. I often think of that word, it's a wonderful word really, when the Lord said to Satan, touch not his life. And Satan couldn't touch it. He could touch his herds, he could touch his flocks of sheep, he could touch Job's loved ones, his children. Satan was permitted of heaven too, and he could touch Job's body, and he could plague Job's soul, but he couldn't touch his life. Wonderful thing that is, you know. Why? Because the care of the Lord surrounded Job in it all. And the Lord was to bring him out as gold. Oh, he was. That he could praise and bless the Lord's holy name. Now, Peter could write this, and I'll be brief. Peter could write this from experience. It was this Peter. We've no stones to cast at him. That was to deny his dear master in the judgment hall. Satan was let loose. And he got in Peter. And he denies his dear Redeemer. But you know, the Lord so cared for Peter that he prayed for him. Oh, he did. Think of those beautiful words the Saviour said to Peter, but I have prayed for thee. And poor soul, if the Lord tells you that, it'll be well with you for time, it'll be well with you for eternity. I have prayed for thee. There was his safety. And the Lord so cared for him that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. This was God-given repentance. And the Lord was to favour him with his everlasting care of pardon and of peace. So Peter could look back through all that he'd had to go through, of the bitter onslaughts of Satan. Satan desired to have him and sift him as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith, that faith that God had given Peter, could never be destroyed. And if he gives you a grain of living faith, he gives it to you, poor soul, because he cares for you. And faith will believe you, the Lord will bring you through. And he brought Peter through, didn't he? And it was this Peter that was to go on the day of Pentecost and preach a precious Jesus to that great multitude. And we all know the fruit that followed it. And it was this Peter who was to go to Cornelius' house and preach to them the dear Redeemer whom they had crucified and slain. And in conclusion, and much could be said, I've only scratched around the surface of it this afternoon, but you know, this loving care of the dear Redeemer that'll take you home to glory. His care will be with his dear children all the way through their life. Their life's minutest circumstances subject to his eye. And it'll be this dear Redeemer that will carry them in his time to Canaan's happy shore, when they can join in that everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. And crown him Lord of all for all he has done for them in caring for them. You know, many of us look back, don't we? I often think about it. I look back through one's life and think of the hard times my dear parents had in those early days of our life. And I think of how they cared for me. And for us as a family. But think about it spiritually, far greater than earthly parents. Though we bless God for that. The care of the Lord. And you'll never, poor soul, be able to praise him enough for that care. Oh no. But my great concern is, as we leave it this afternoon, that he will whisper this word. Nothing better could you have than for the Lord to whisper this, for he, a precious Jesus that suffered, bled and died at Calvary, and rose again triumphant on that glorious resurrection morn. The victorious King cares for you.